I'll wait for
Blog Talk Radio
comes on with this.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
Ask the podcast coach for August 22nd, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. We're off and rolling. Kind of like a roller coaster. Keep your hands and your hands and arms, or your arms and hands, whatever you want to keep inside the ride. That's always fun. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me as always, I didn't come up with a fun, witty banner thing this week. Flavored with Splenda, the one and only Jim Collison. Although you were sweet already, but now with Splendor.
Thanks, Dave. completely calorie free. I think it's Jim Light.
It's the zero calorie.
The zero calorie alternative to podcasting. Welcome back, Dave. Good to have you back. It was fun to control things, but not as much fun as you think it is. And so it's good to have you back in the chair.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It was interesting last week hiding behind the printer with Nick Suberling, which was great fun over at PodCamp Pittsburgh. But
it was fun to hear Nick's take of Podcast Pittsburgh on Podcasters Group Therapy this week. He talks about it, and I'm really enjoying that podcast. Those guys do, Nick and Corey and Tawny do a really nice job. And Tawny's laugh is just infectious. If you hear her laugh, you just want to giggle along with her as she's laughing. So if you're a podcaster and you just need another podcast show to listen to besides this one, head over
That's
there.
That's a good
Podcasters Group Therapy.
BGT forever, baby. The thing that gets me about that show, it's hard to pick, because part of me goes, oh, Tawny makes that show because it's nice to have it. And then about that time, I'm like, you know what? But I like Nick's kind of little subtle humor, and he kind of keeps everything going. And then you go, no, it's Corey, because he, like, Corey this week just knocked it out of the park with all of his stuff about how he gets Facebook working. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, Nick is the hype man, right? For sure. He's the hype guy. And Tawny definitely is the color commentator. She kind of brings in that, like, and she says things that normal podcasters won't say.
Right.
And so that's good. And then, and Corey's the straight guy. He just brings it just like it's supposed to be, just like it is. He's the straight reporter on that. So they've got a great combo. They have a nice mix in there. Cause I think on a lot of podcasts, a lot of the hosts try to be all those things at the same time, and they don't. They have found their place, and I think they're on episode 20, and it's a good podcast. I look forward to it almost every week as they get that out.
Yeah, but it's always good. That's the whole thing. They I know there for a while Corey was running all over the place and podcasts and things like that. But when they bring it.
The more hosts you add, I mean, you add complexity to it. And you add scheduling complexity to it, and so it's a chore, especially when you're going to have all three on every single week. If you're going to do something like that, it's going to and the more you add, it's going to change the complexity exponentially.
It gets impossible after a while.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure.
Well, and they've done what we've done. If you, for when I'm not here, it's funny because we keep planning for me not to be here, and then I sneak in anyway. Speaking of that, thank you to Mike Dell from podcasthelpdesk.com last week for being the safety net. But so far I've been able to just connect in. It's weird. Part of me goes, you know what, Dave, you should just let it go. But I'm glad.
I think it's great when you come in that way.
Yeah.
It adds, I love that. I mean, the fact that we can do that is awesome, right? That I can just run it here, bring you in, you're doing that. I mean, I thought it was really good except I did miss seeing Nick shirtless. He promised he would go shirtless on that. He would streak shirtless past you. That never happened.
I'm trying to think. I roomed with Nick. I don't think either of us blessed the other with
the shirtless.
We could have had a wet t-shirt contest, because I'm working on a solid C cup, I think, at this point. Anyway. Hey, speaking of bringing it, you can bring it right now. No lines. That number is 347-850-8007. 340-850-8007. I know a couple weeks ago somebody said this really wasn't much of a Q&A show this week. And I'm like, hey, you guys got to bring the Q and we will bring the A. And don't be shy. If you just found us, we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We're here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time and 9:30. What would that be? Central and then
Central and 8 Mountain and 7:30 Pacific.
Right. And 4 in the morning Korean and 2 something.
I think it's earlier than that.
Yeah.
But
so, hey, I wanted to, I on my blog, which is at davidjackson.org, there was a guy that put out a post that said podcasting is pointless and it's a waste of time. And he does a podcast called Brock Party. And the name of the post is maybe your podcast just sucks. So it's Dave, you know, bringing the full snark, but it's weird. He says podcasts are pointless. Anyone who tells you otherwise is the literal devil. No one is going to get rich or famous or gain any level of following from this new medium ever again, because it's hilariously dead. So basically what this is, it's, he did a phenomenal job of masking the podcasting is dead meme. We haven't heard this in a while. I've predicted it's kind of due, right? When everybody, we kind of said about, you know, it's been a while that I said, we're going to have a wave of podcasting is dead in the future. And he says, your idea to share acoustic observations about an ongoing TV show, pointless. Your idea to interview interesting people, laughably misguided. Your idea to discuss each individual episode of a decade old CW show, and which is the Gilmore Girls, is oddly enough, he says, successful. He points to the Gilmore Guys show. And I looked over, he basically is getting 125 downloads per episode because he publishes his stats. And what was interesting about it is he said the goal of his show was to get together with friends and get drunk. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If that was the goal of your show, you've been highly successful. It was kind of interesting, but, and so to me, it's no fun to just go over and say, well, your show stinks. Cause it was, here's the thing. It got me. I finally listened to the whole thing and literally like, I don't know, 35 minutes into it, these two women that he pulled in as guests admit that they're witches. Like they're in a coven. And I was like, what? Really? Wow. Okay. Now we got something going on. I want to hear what it's like to be a witch. I'm like, that's kind of different. Not everybody comes up and goes, hi, I'm a witch.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe. So there's no, he started off his show with a three minute song that I've never heard of. At 5 minutes, he finally introduces his guest, one of which he says, why don't you introduce yourself? Which to me always kind of sounds like I'm kind of throwing this together and I'll let you take that job, which he then admits later that he did. So it's just, there's a lot of improv in it and all sorts of other, he typed a whopping 32 words of show notes. And then I'm like, and I said, nothing screams great content like four people talking over each other.
Well, and nothing screams podcasting's dead from a podcaster whose podcast is not getting very many downloads and he's sounding a little bitter.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, because 125, I mean, all that's close to the average, I think, 147 yeah. or whatever that is. It's close. And, you know, hey, if you get 125, you get it. But it sounds to me like a guy who started it in the hype cycle, who thought, "I'm going to be
the next." And then Mark Maron, yeah,
yeah, couldn't put it together, and probably needs some help with this podcast as it is. But and then gets a little bitter and says it's dead. It's anything but dead. I mean, the hype cycle is the largest it's ever been. There's so much going on around podcasting right now. Just, I mean, the fact that these conferences can draw, you know, podcast movement could draw what it does. I think is a huge testimony that we are in. I think we're in a golden age of it right now. I mean, I think it's going to jump again. So it's going to go, it'll peak, it'll dip a little bit. It'll never dip way back to where it was supposed to go. And then it'll spike up again. So I think it's not dead. Not even close.
The thing that was interesting is his name is Brock Wilbur. And if you go to brockwilbur.com, he's actually got a really nice looking website. He's been on Comedy Central and he's got a really impressive resume.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But here's the interesting thing. In iTunes, it points, like his podcast is on a god ugly Podbean website.
Ugh.
And I was like, wait a minute, you're all your fans are on your website. You put your podcast on a completely separate one. Okay, but it's so easy with Libsyn
And if you're, it's pretty easy with most hosting companies to copy that and put it on whatever website you want. Sure, let Podbean do your RSS feed if that's how you want to handle it. But I was like, wait a minute, all your traffic's over on your really nice looking website. There's another. So it was just one of those where it's like, I didn't want to just, you know, say, okay, here's, you know, I was kind of like, here's what I would do, you know. Right. And I was just like, the fact that I listened to him, like, wait a minute, if you had told me today we're going to talk to two witches, I would have listened to that episode. But instead, it's just like, you know, they start talking about one of the guests, apparently, and I'm assuming they're all comedians, is in a musical about Tonya Harding. And I'm like, how very 1991 of you.
Well, it's original.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
At least it's original. Yeah. I've never heard of anything like that, a musical about Tonya Harding.
Yeah, so that was it was different, but I just...
Sounds like he needs a coach, though. I mean, right, he sounds like he needs somebody to kind of come in and say, hey, dude, there's some better ways
to do this. Yeah,
you can clean this up and you can clean that up. I think, you know, he probably... It sounds like his material is there, but when it comes to podcasting, he's just maybe a little unprepared or doesn't know all the... kind of all the ways to get it done, more efficient ways and things like that. He could probably double or triple his audience with just a few small changes.
Yeah.
Podbean. And some of the, although you can do it with Podbean. It's not really where it's hosted. It's how you advertise it that matters. Right?
That's it. That's my little equation. I always say the value in the episode multiplied by the amount you promote it equals number of downloads. And,
yeah, the host provider really does nothing for you in most cases, right? You may get a little lift, like on Spreaker. Well, they've given us, they've promoted us before, both Gallup and my podcast. They put me on the front page, and we get a little lift from that. That's always nice when you see your album artwork out on the front page of Spreaker. Sure. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But for the most part, I don't think you're going to get very... That's very... you know, you're just putting your eggs in the wrong basket at that point. That media host isn't going to do that much. Now, with like Libsyn and Blueberry, there is a race. Those two companies are racing to get your business, and they keep adding some pretty awesome and some pretty cool features.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think about the rewrite that's going on at Blueberry right now. We had Mike on last week and talked about that, but there's a lot of features, and the stats are, you know, the stat page is changing and coming. I mean, so as a podcaster, there's some great value in running on a Blueberry or running on a Libsyn or running on a Spreaker, which I think Rob is going to change Spreaker into that third option, right? When we think about host providers, I think that day is coming. I don't like their pricing plans at Spreaker. I wish they would change those. They're weird. They're just go unlimited, guys, and get a flat rate. That would be the best way, I think, Rob, if you're listening, if you can have any influence over there, follow the pattern and go flat pricing everywhere else. Hey, Rob got it changed. I'm pretty sure this was Rob. Yeah. The title now, 140 characters, which is awesome, right? I mean, I think it was 40. Before. It's like, what podcaster can make their title 40 characters? It never worked for me. So anyways, I think the host provider doesn't matter as much. Although with these guys, Libsyn, Blueberry, Spreaker, they're making a race to say, hey, we've got great value added to you hosting here with us. Here's some additional things that you can do. So,
yeah. And I think the reason they have that different pricing plan is due to the fact that they have the live platform. Right. That's, and so you have somebody that's doing a, you know, 5 hour show a day that's going to burn up, but there should be a way to do that though, so you don't have that cap, but,
you know what, the 5,000, 10 hours that you get on their pro plan. And I forget the pricing on that. It's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
But is almost impossible to fill up.
Yeah.
5,000 hours is a ton. I mean, I've been on that plan now for 2 years. And I'm at like 4%, and I do two shows a week.
Wow.
Sometimes three. And so so if you look at Spreaker's plan, you look at 5,000, you're like, it is almost nearly unlimited. So I should probably, you know, you're right. They've got it priced for the live stuff, and that makes sense. It stops somebody from coming on and streaming 24/7, right? And although take a long time, even at 24/7 to fill up 5,000 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, hey, like I said, if you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. It's 347-850-8007. And if you want to join the chat, we are askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And silly me, I closed Slack because I didn't want it to beep at me. And now I have no idea what your topics are.
Oh, Well, I can throw one in there. One of the things this week, I was actually challenged on 2 weeks ago here on the show from Mike Howard, was using Google AdSense and throwing the ads on my YouTube videos. And I hate those ads. I mean, I've said it right on the show. I am not a believer in ads on YouTube. I just hate them. I got to close them out. They get in the way. But Mike Howard walked me through some pretty compelling reasons when we think about money from a monetization standpoint. And that's open. Those are air quotes for those of you who are on the audio only version of it. You can't see it. But, and I've always been really skeptical. And Mike does, you know, his YouTube channel is, I mean, he's no Mark Maron, but he's got some pretty good numbers. And I'm about, my YouTube channel is maybe a fifth of his. And he kind of challenged me, hey, you're leaving money on the table. And so I reconsidered. I went back and turned on some monetization on my YouTube channel. And, you know, lo and behold, and I'm not going to disclose numbers because I don't want to go there because it doesn't matter. It just depends on what your traffic is. But some you know, things started clicking. And I'm like, well, okay, so maybe YouTube's not as bad as I thought it was from a monetization standpoint. Because I always thought it was like, oh, it's pennies a month. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking for it. And I think the more traffic, and it depends on your podcast, it depends on what you're putting on YouTube and those kinds of things. But it's, you know, so one of the strategies because of that I'm changing, or I'm thinking through, I have this show called Home Tech Tips, and it was always designed to be the short play show. And, you know, YouTube plays well to the short play. I get the most negative comments I get on YouTube are about my show being too long, or I'm not getting to the point quick enough, because the YouTube generation wants to see things and, you know, tell me how to fix my fridge in 10 seconds kind of thing, or you know, that kind of stuff. Right. And so what we're doing is taking our long play show, and I'm pulling out 8 or 9 minute slices of it and stripping out all of the community stuff, right? We don't talk about who we are or what we are or how to find us on Twitter or any of those things. And I put a couple links in the show notes and stuff like that. But I'm throwing those up on YouTube and tying those all together on my blog and with YouTube. They're all tied together. So when you go to the long play show, the very first slide says, if you want to watch shorter versions of this, click on it. And it'll take you to my page, not a Google playlist. I want to keep them on my site. So I created a page, a post they can go to that has all the shortened sections of that podcast on a page. And in that way you can, you know, I'm trying to listen to my audience who says, no, you know, we want to listen to this, but we want a short version of it. Yet there are people in my community who depend on the long play for their commute. That's what they want. So it's a way of doing both. Now it absolutely takes more time.
I was going to ask, Mike, that sounds like a lot more
work. Another hour. It's another hour. Now, what I'm trying to do is figure out a way to work it in with my workflow, with my current workflow, because I already listen to the whole podcast as I'm writing the show notes. So what I'm doing is, as I'm doing show notes and as I'm listening, I'm making marks, and then I can easily go back, pull those things out. And then I've been leaking those home tech tips during the week, just when, because I'll get three, four, five of those out of each show. I've been just releasing those as I have time. They're not on a regular schedule, right? They're really designed for YouTube, not my blog. It'll work on the blog, and people can subscribe to them if they want. But it was just, Dave, it was just a way, you know, I kind of got three things in one there. I got some YouTube advertising stuff going on. Right. I got repurposing of my content going on, and I got the short versions of my show going on. So let me encourage you, if you're thinking about this, if you got a long play show, it's kind of like clamoring. You're doing your own clamor. It's not 18 seconds. Mine are about 6 or 7 minutes. But it's a way of loading YouTube with some shorter stuff, branded appropriately. You know, the link to the full show is on every single one of those videos that I do. So people could click that, come back to the long show if they like it, right?
I thought about that for this show. Like take just a question and make it.
This would be perfect.
Yeah. And then have, you know, here's where, you know, whatever, Kim talked about show notes. And then here's where, you know, Michael Ray asked about such and such and things of that nature. And
I think it's perfect, you know, and you get that, you know. The other thing about ads on YouTube, I don't think that say this, but I think those videos get better search rankings if they have AdSense turned on or if they've got that monetization turned on than if they don't. In other words, I think Google favors, why wouldn't it, right? Wouldn't it favor in its search rankings videos that have monetization turned on? Because they make money off of it, right? So I don't know, little test, turned it on. The dollars started clicking on immediately. As soon as I turned on monetization, I started seeing some results. So I'm kind of testing that out again.
If I wanted monetization, I would actually have to create a brand new Google account. Because I don't know why. This was 2007, 8-ish. Google like turned off my whatever that is. It's not AdWords, it's AdSense.
AdSense.
And I don't know if you've ever had a problem with Google, have fun trying to get somebody to,
you won't do it.
You can't get anybody to go, what happened? So it's still weird because I made a post on my, efforts to get somebody on Google. And literally like 2 seconds after I posted it, my phone rang from somebody saying they were from Google, and that about made me wet my pants. And I said, well, what's the deal? And he goes, you had like, you know, like a robot basically hitting my page. And I'm like, well, I didn't do that. And they're like, yeah, well, you have to send an email to so-and-so, which of course didn't work. So I've just kind of given up and said, well, I'm in their plan, but I can't kind of turn it on. And if I wanted to, I'd have to set up a completely different account. And then, but it's one of those, again, where I love that, you know, I got banned for something that I didn't do, you know what I mean? It's like, what? So,
very weird. It's probably worth it to go in there and get that. Cause if it's been a while, for me, it's been so long. I haven't monetized in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, AdSense and YouTube monetization were not together. Well, when they united Google Plus into everything, they added AdSense into Google or to YouTube. So you have to have your AdSense piece connected to your YouTube piece, connected to the head bone and the
right.
Head bone is connected. Yeah. So you got to connect those two together to get it working. So I had to do that. I had to go over there and get all that thing set up and get it done. And then I didn't monetize everything. I went back, I don't know, maybe 40 videos. I went back and turned those on. And I'll just monetize from this point going forward.
It'll be interesting to watch and see what kind of gas money you get out of it.
I'm predicting $5 to $7 a month for me. That's about 3,000 views a month is what I'm getting on my YouTube. Now, I think that's small, and my show isn't appropriate for that. It's not that big of a deal. Mike Howard is in a different, let me use Gallup because I didn't get permission to use Mike's numbers. So Gallup, we do 30,000 a month. And I think that might be in the $50 to $60 to $100 range, depending on which ads get served. Now at Gallup, we shut off monetization because my CEO does not want his product selling other products. And I totally get that, right? So it's completely gone. But at about 30,000, I think $50 to $100. Mike's in the chat room. If he wants to share his numbers there, I'll let him do that. But that's kind of what I would predict. Hey, that, you know, on a monthly basis, that gets you some pretty good hosting. You know, if you had those kind of numbers, that would pay for some pretty good hosting over at Libsyn or Blueberry or Spreaker.
Let's see who threw this in the chat room. Joe Taylor. Well, first of all, we haven't said this in a while. You don't ask, you don't get. 347-850-8007. 347-850-8007. Joe Taylor put a link to Donovan Adkinson. I can never say the guy's name. Who have I interviewed on the show? He has a show. He wrote a book about his first year in podcasting, and he's apparently bidding podcasting adieu. He started Adkinson Digital. Maybe that's part of it. Have a name that people can pronounce. I don't know. He says this is goodbye, at least to podcasting for now. And at the bottom, he clarifies. He says, I want to clarify or possibly reinforce a point that I was trying to make in this episode. My purpose for podcasting wasn't about making money, even though we'd all love to make a living doing something we love and are very passionate about. My goal in any of my podcasting endeavors was to try and make a difference. The numbers were just numbers and nothing more. Sure, the higher the numbers, the better one feels because your audience is growing. But if you're talking to 1,000 people and no one talks back, but you talk to 15 and you have an extensive conversation, I'd rather have the 15. I was never seeking accolades for what I was doing. I purposely geared this particular show to be somewhat controversial and try to stir up discussions, but it just didn't seem to be working. That's all. I think there are some great voices in the podcasting community, and I hope they continue to thrive and inspire. And by no means am I suggesting that my reasons for getting out, even if it winds up being just for a little while, should be anyone's reasons for leaving podcasting. Follow your own path. At the present time, I feel my path just isn't in this direction, but we'll see. So if he wants to come back, of course, you know, I have to let him know that
no one will punch you in the face.
That's right. No one will punch you in the face. Thank you, Ryan K. Parker from Food. I cannot talk today. Isn't live great?
It's Saturday.
Foodcraftsman.com.
Yeah. You got to slow down sometimes. I always find I try to talk too fast when it's live. I appreciate that he says in this, follow your own path.
Yep.
And that's, if you're on this hobby journey for podcasting, it really is about your own journey and your own past and trying stuff different. I mean, these home tech tips, this is the third time I've rebooted home tech tips to make it work. I have tried this. I tried home tech interviews. In fact, you were one of the folks I interviewed. It was you and Ray and Daniel. I interviewed the three of you about 2 years ago, and I was going to create this separate channel that was just going to be straight interviews. And that, because I thought my listeners were coming to hear gadget stuff, right, at the day, or home tech stuff. I did three. Didn't really go anywhere. And so I just kind of let it go. It's way, right? You just kind of ebb and flow. Dave, you're the king of this. I think you've started and stopped more podcasts or let them linger.
Yeah,
than anybody, and it's okay. Like Ryan says, no one's going to punch you in the face. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I actually just put out an episode of The Marketing Musician, which I hadn't done in like months. I think I'm going to make that a monthly podcast because I found something that was really cool about upsells and how there was an interesting article on the Jersey Shore, like Viacom stock, like their ad revenue went up like 14% the day after. The Jersey Shore. Are you familiar with the Jersey Shore, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
And here they said they open up stores called Jersey Stores with all the, you know, T-shirts and paraphernalia and the Schnooky lunchbox or whatever it was. And they said they had the cashiers ask, would you like one of these signature shot glasses? They sold 500,000 shot glasses. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, holy cow. So it was just the interesting thing of upsells. And I was like, hey, you know what? That audience would like this information. Yeah, it's I keep killing and bringing back Feeding My Faith. It's now a 2-minute podcast. Why? Because I don't have time to do a 15-minute podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's me reading a little scripture going, here's what I think about that, including one that I went, I have no idea what that means. That makes no sense to me. And off we go. So, but here's the thing. I'm pretty adamant on this. If you're mailing in your podcast, you're going to get mail it in results.
Right.
And that podcast is when I'm like, you know what? I should just probably not do that. So, but.
Well, yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah. I see Gary says the PM banner in the back. Thank you, Mr. Leland. I've actually found a company I can actually, there's a couple different ways you can hang this. There's all sorts of, that was one of the things I spent probably a good hour this week. Like, how do I hang a banner? And I'm at this point, I still want to move. I might do this today. My wife is off with some friends playing. And I keep saying I'm going to move, rearrange my office. And I think today's the day I'm going to do that. But I do want to say, how are we doing on time? Wow. Flying by. We should say hello to Andy Sokolovich. I think
it's Sokolovich.
Sokolovich. Yeah. Who is one of our new awesome supporters of Ask the Podcast Coach. If you'd like to be an awesome supporter, go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And speaking of awesome. Daniel J. Lewis, if you're bored, give us a call, buddy. He's got a new thing going on. It's kind of like, I think it's the service that we're going to see popping up. I mean, I've kind of got my little caster mine. Daniel's got, I know it's PS. I'm trying to remember what the heck it stands for now, but,
Podcast Society.
That's it. Which is actually, I wonder if he got that from, cool. He's, apparently I left my brain. Michael Stelzner has the social media society that I joined, which is actually really cool. And, a lot of community going on over there and things like that. And they do like monthly trainings.
It's in response to the growth, right?
There's
the podcasting. So as podcasting gets bigger, we have to get smaller. And then people like the Facebook groups have gotten so big, the conversation's out of control and it's not as helpful, you know, anymore. You're kind of, and so as you move on, you're like, I'd like some significant conversation around this. And so I think these are nice to get set up. And if you need that more, if you're looking for those groups like we had 5 years ago when we first started doing this, and it was just us talking to ourselves, and it was a little more intimate in the conversation and maybe a little more helpful sometimes, and not so trolling. I think these, like what Daniel's trying to do, and you with your caster mind, is a good way to do it for sure. We're trying to do meetups with Gallup. So this is the, as the conversation gets bigger, we're trying to do these local meetups and get those going. That's similar to what podcasters are doing as well. But you just got to get smaller groups. It's not, you can't, 5,000 is not scalable.
So yeah, joining us on the phone, the one, the only, Daniel J. Lewis, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, Dave and Jim. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah. I saw your picture that Jenny put on Facebook, which was hilarious because she said normally Daniel has this kind of, wasn't stone face, but sullen, kind of just, you know, the serious Daniel. And on launch day, you got to see Daniel actually smile. And I'm like, really? Because I don't know. You don't seem that, seem like a pretty fun guy. And so congrats on launching a new service. Tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you. It's Podcaster Society. It's a rebirth of an idea I had several years ago to make Podcast Masterclass, which was supposed to be a month-long course helping you take your podcast from average to amazing. Because what I'm really passionate about is helping podcasters improve what they do. Yes, helping people launch is great, but a lot of people launch and then they fizzle out because either they're not doing things well or they don't have vision, they're not planning things. So I really wanted people to continue on after episode one. So over the last year, I've been working on this idea of Podcaster Society that would be an exclusive community for only existing podcasters. You must have an active podcast or have a podcast in iTunes in order to be a member. That way we can move beyond the questions like, how do I get an RSS feed? To then moving into more advanced questions like, how do I make my RSS feed better? I've got it. I know how to use it. I don't know how to enhance it. Stuff like that. But taking it really up to a higher level, do you like that? And making it so that we can together improve our podcasts. So it will be a combination of weekly webinars with training, special guests, Q&A. There is a live community of forums and both a Slack team where we can chat in real time and discuss things, and exclusive discounts and some other cool stuff coming. So it's all focused on helping you grow your podcast from average to amazing.
And here's what I thought this would be an interesting discussion point. And this is going to be good because if somebody joins, they're probably open for this. But I heard a couple people, this little topic coming up, I heard it on the talent show, which is Michael Sharkey's. He's kind of from the same realm of Eric K. Johnson. He's a talent coach. And he was saying that he's heard that podcasters aren't open to, what's the word? Constructive criticism, I guess. Like they're not willing to change their podcast. Do you think that's, what are your thoughts on that topic?
I think some podcasters aren't, certainly. And those podcasters are going to be podcasters who won't be interested in Podcaster Society anyway. But what I see of the people who are here, these are people who do want to improve and do accept constructive criticism. And one of the guys in the group, Max Flight, posted something in the forum saying, sometimes I can come across as a little bit too harsh, but I'm not intending to be. Just let me know to back off if I'm being too direct. And I think that's great to have that kind of honesty and transparency and realize that we're not just saying you should do better or you're doing this badly. It's here's what I've seen that works to improve. Let's improve each other. And this isn't just about attacking people. It's not about attacking people at all. It's about building people, each other up and making our podcast amazing.
That's it. Because it's one thing to say, I don't like the way this worked or this didn't work for me. Okay, great. But what would you do differently? I mean, anybody can complain. It's when you can give that, okay, here's maybe another way to do this, or here's another tool that might work for you, or things of that nature. And Mark Johansson says, Daniel's dishing out the tough love. Well, sometimes I think you need that in a way. So Jim, what do you think about people accepting criticism?
Yeah, you know, this is good. I mean, like I said, it's the opportunity. Just for those who will take it, they will get better, right? It's just one of those things. For those who fight it, well, it's just, you're just going to stay in the state that you're in. So I think it's super important. Daniel, Mike Weger, who my co-host on Home Gadget Geeks, has joined the society. So I'll get a chance in there to hear from him, kind of how that goes. So no, I like it. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a way to bring the community together, and excited to see how that goes for you.
And help pay for that move to Arizona.
Right. It's really something that I've not been excited about a podcasting project more than I have been about this. This is thrilling to me, and to launch this and see people joining and participating in this, it's really exciting. I'm more excited about this than anything else I've ever done up to this point.
Daniel, don't you think this brings back, kind of was alluding to earlier, is kind of the early days of collaboration that we did together that's got, you know, with the groups got bigger, those collaborative spaces got more diluted, and this kind of brings it back to a more serious conversation as opposed to some of the less serious things we talk about in the Facebook groups and such?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what really was pushing me, especially this year, to go ahead and take action on this. Because I was seeing these communities, and I try to participate in a lot of those different communities, and they are great podcasting communities on Facebook, Google+, Reddit, all of these places. But I would see many of the same questions over and over. And many of those questions would be like, what kind of microphone should I get? Where should I host my podcast? Those kinds of questions. And it would often crowd out the other questions of people who were asking basically, how do I improve my show? And sometimes when someone would ask, how do I improve my show? Because there wasn't sort of a barrier to entry or investment in some sort in the community by each person there, that they are taking risks or they're making some kind of investment to be there. Sometimes the answers back would be very low quality, unfortunately. And that's not to say the people are low quality, but sometimes it's just not really focused. It's more like just a community to say anything and everything about podcasting instead of being a community focused on improving what we already have.
Well, that, and I think sometimes in the groups, people are, they want to help, but they don't have the time to really type out the answer. Maybe they should. So it's kind of like, you know, what microphone should I use or whatever. It's like, here's the one you use, blah, blah, blah. And then they leave. So it's not that they're trying to be rude. They're just like, I've got to go do this or that, or I've got to go type my show notes or things like that. The website is podcast. Ah, look at you being all smart. Cause I type podcaster society and it redirects to podcasters society, which makes sense. You want that to be plural.
Yeah.
And in true Daniel J. Lewis fashion, the website looks great.
Thank you.
Oh, good looking stuff, buddy. Very cool. I'm excited to see, to hear how this goes. And
Daniel, did you struggle with the two S's in the URL?
Oh boy. Yeah. Coming up with the name, because everything about this, I've tried to, for the last couple of years, I have kept myself from learning much about things that could be considered competition to this. Like, you know, there are premium communities and premium courses, and I've tried to keep myself separate from those so that nothing I was doing was in imitation, intentional imitation, that is, of anyone else. One of the things I was thinking of is when I was investigating words like club and community and such, I came across this word society, and I loved everything that it meant. And I realized this is the perfect word for what I'm doing, but I hate that there are two S's in the middle, like that podcaster society. So I thought about podcast society, podcasting society, podcaster society. And yes, I do own all of those domains, and they all point to the right domain. And I actually talked with Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl, who's going to be my first webinar guest in Podcaster Society, September 24th. I'm excited about that. But I asked her opinion, and we talked about the different forms of the names, and it really seemed that Podcasters apostrophe Society did communicate the best. It was the most accurate, and that it has two S's in the middle is unfortunate, but I have the other domain, so it forwards over fine.
Hey, we should take a break for a sec, Dave. We'll need to restart the YouTube.
When I unshared the screen, because Daniel, I was showing your website on the video, and he said putting a marker on the audio. And when I stopped sharing my screen, it killed the video. How do I, is there any way like to,
you'll have to just start a new hangout and and splice them together.
Oh, that stinks. I am not going to not pay YouTube anything anymore. Now it says YouTube stream is back. No, it's not. It says off the air.
Yeah, it's off air.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that stinks, doggone it. Well, that's fun.
All right. Press that stop broadcast button.
The joys. Da, da, da. So we'll go over here and make a new hangout.
Oh, wait a minute. He said it's back. The YouTube's back, but we're not seeing it's off air on our side.
Okay. I'm going to say somebody go out to the.
Let's look here.
Because I didn't hit stop. I hit stop sharing.
It definitely says off. That's not live for us. One of these weird things about YouTube sometimes, it'll say that and then it'll just go away. You know, it's like it gives you 15 seconds of life. And
you hear what I get. When I hit play.
Yeah, you're definitely off live.
That video stream may be playing for a second, but it's gonna die. We're off air.
It's going to die. Somebody pull the plug.
It's gonna die. What do you want to do, Dave? You want to keep going and just make this an audio for the week and pull it right out of Spreaker, or do you?
I'm still recording this locally. You know, okay. It's just the video is
go
kaput. Yeah, we'll just keep on going.
Just do audio only. So send everybody over to Mixlr.
Well, I mean, they can stay there. The chat's still there.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to, you know, hit play on the Mixlr button there and you'll hear us. That was really weird. But the joys of being live. Yeah. Or basically here, let's basically click the play button on the.
Well, I think this will be a good moment for me to step out, and I'll let you guys handle that transition.
Let's record a thank you before you go so Dave can splice in. We're coming on, so hang tight one sec.
Awesome. Well, Daniel, buddy, thank you for calling in, and best of luck in your new venture again. It's at Podcasters Studio. No, that's Ray's. PodcastersSociety.com. Awesome.
Yes, thank you very much, Dave and Jim, and hope to see you sometime, maybe in a webinar or something over there.
Well, that'd be fun.
Thanks, Daniel.
Cool. All right. That was fun. Good guy.
So you should be asking me, like, Jim, so your co-host joined it. Why haven't you, right?
And exactly.
Daniel's deal. I need another thing to do right now. Like, I need a hole in my head. So I've committed to, like, my work's got super busy. We're doing this whole education series this week. 10 webcasts, 10 one-hour podcast over 5 days, so two a day. And you think, well, Jim, 2 days, not too bad, except they're in global time zones. So 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. is when we're doing them, and there's a whole bunch of work that went into the education materials and the slides we'll be showing and the guests, and I had to line up 15 global guests. So we have guests from Singapore and India and Australia and the UK and the United States, and getting all those guys situated and getting microphones to them all in some kind of way, right?
Nice.
I must have bought 10 ATR 2100s this week and shipped them all over the country so folks would have microphones. So yeah, for me, it's like, I'd really love to take advantage of a very intimate group like Daniel's creating. It's just, I'm committed. And that sometimes you have to do that as a podcaster. I'm 3 podcasts behind right now sitting in my queue to edit and produce and get done.
That's a great point. This is something I have a channel. I use the Apple's podcast app, and I have a channel for all the podcasts about podcasting that I listen to. And I used to listen to them all, and I had to thin the herd because there are some that I think are kind of geared more towards kind of newbies in some ways, or just, I just wasn't, you know, it's kind of like, all right, nothing, wasn't a new way of seeing it. Wasn't it just. Was kind of, and I'm going to run into that because I'm reading about podcasting every day anyway. And so I kind of was like, after about the 4th one of going, that was, I'm doing this a lot with all podcasts, which is I subscribe, but I don't have it download the episode automatically. Like Mark Maron, if I don't recognize the name, I'm not going to listen to it. There's a lot of that. So
you just have to choose, right? It's a similar one of those kinds of things, and there's a right time for everything. And so for me, I'm just kind of committed at this point not to join another thing that I need to pay attention to. Could I improve my podcast? Absolutely. Could the group like that help me? Absolutely. Right. From those from that standpoint. Just right now, with things are going, I'm so busy with all the podcast stuff that I do on my own and at work and my own job. And, you know, I still have a full-time recruiting and internship job that I do for Gallup. It's just, I was like, I'm committing. Okay. I can't do one more thing. So anyways, that's, and I know a lot of podcasters are in that place. So it's just, for me, it's one of those, just because I know somebody would ask, they'd be like, oh, Jim, how come you didn't do it? Well, I'm still busy right now.
See, and I always get worried that if I, cause I've joined other like paid podcasting courses, and it's like, especially if it's something where like there's a forum or something, I don't want to have people thinking, well, he's here to poach my audience,
right?
Or that. So I've only done that once. I was like, you know what? Cause I wanted to actually see what technology they were using more than their content. And the fun filled phrase is the boarding process when people join their thing. And so I joined, but I was like a mouse. I just sat there and listened and watched and that whole nine yards. So that's always kind of the icky part. And now, are you still here, Jim? And now Jim froze up. All right. Well, this is fun. So I am going to make a new hangout. That's interesting. And here we go. That's the podcast coach. Okay. I would like to start this now. And he's back. Okay, good.
Hey, great Saturday morning.
I just said I'm over here getting ready to start a new video. I'm like, all right, maybe I am going to do a new video.
Nah,
that's always gone. Oh, it's been one of those days. Excellent. All right. So one of the things that I'll probably talk about this on the School of Podcasting, so I apologize for the rerun in advance. I think I'm done in the podcasting for free experiment. I'll probably put on episode today. The reason I started that is because there was a company called audiometric.io, and they came out and said, we're going to pay you to host with us. And I was like, I've heard this before. And I used them for a few months, and they had pretty decent support, and they were adding new stuff. And I'm like, all right. And I just had so many people ask me, can I podcast for free, that I created that little course. And of course, they got purchased by, I want to say, it's like Monopoly, but it starts with a pan. It's like Panoply, Panapo something, who is basically owned by Slate. And they are not out of business, but they're going, basically, they have a really cool ad insertion tool, like kind of like Libsyn Pro. And Slate bought them because Slate wants to use them to do that for their podcast. I don't know if they're going to be public, but to their credit, they have also... They've always been really supportive and very responsive, I think is the word I'm looking for. Cause I said, hey guys, what's going on? Because I saw where their sign up button went away, and they said, oh, we're working on some things. And I'm like, okay, great. But I'm sending people your way to podcast for free, and they can't sign up. And so they politely said, we have some big news coming. And then they did, they came out and said, we got purchased. And I'm like, great. Can you put the button back to let people sign up? And they're like, yeah, we're not doing that model anymore, basically because they couldn't get advertisers. And I heard Rob Greenlee and Todd Cochran on the New Media Show saying how that Panoply. Okay, there we go. Step one, get a name people can pronounce. But Rob and Todd were saying that even some of the bigger networks are having issues filling in their inventory. I think those are their little buzz phrase that they were using. But
Well, you mentioned this in the pre-show, is about trying to podcast about podcasting for free and maybe trying to make a little money off that. And that might be a little oxymoron, right? I mean, those people running to podcast for free, chances are they're not going to come get a podcast coach because they're trying to podcast for free. Now, they don't want to spend money on everything. And there's a couple ways to do it. I mean, I think you can do it. There's some hoops you can jump through if you want to keep your numbers small. You want to, you know, have somebody else's name on your website. You want to, you know, you could, for the love of the game, you can go down to the dirt lot on the corner and play baseball for the love of the game, right? Now, you're going to break a few windows.
Right.
You're going to get kind of dirty. It's not going to be very nice, you know, from that standpoint. But you can do it. I just, Dave, to your point, it inherently, since there's no money in the system, it's not going to get supported very long. So,
yeah.
Most companies are going to run for a while, and then they're going to be like, God, guys, we got to monetize this somehow.
Yeah. I looked at, because I didn't realize Spreaker has a free version, and they do. It's for kicking the tires on the system, but you can't submit a show to iTunes because there's no category in your RSS feed. I was thinking things like Podomatic and Podbean. I could look into that, but there's just a part of me that when we talk about having the passion, I'm just like, you know, and then somebody said archive.org and Feedburner, and I was like, I'm not against anti or archive.org. I've just heard it slow, but I really am not. I cannot honestly send somebody to Feedburner. I'm like, that's just not something I would recommend. And so I just went, okay, for integrity purposes, I don't think I'm going to tell people how to do this anymore, because I'm just not. It's just one of those, like, just quit drinking Mountain Dew. You'll find the $7 for.
Oh, that's it.
A media host.
The best free service I found with low bandwidth is Shout Engine. That's a new one that's come out. It's got some really good stats. The free version is really an all-purpose hosting, with the exception you're using the Shout Engine name, right? So your podcast is not going to be at your site, but you can do a lot of the things podcasters do. They just have very, very low bandwidth in their free version. And if you get popular at all, you get an audience at all, you're going to have to move.
Right. Same thing with Podomatic has that. And
yeah,
I'm not sure.
No, for sure. Yeah. I've told you before. I mean, I still get 75 to 150 listeners on Podomatic on my free plan, and I do nothing over there. It's zero. I just post it and run. And it's kind of crazy. Shout Engine too has picked up for me, which I started and I used to get no traffic over there at all. And lately it's been just kind of creeping up, and you know, where I'm getting dozens of listens a week or dozens of listens an episode, and maybe some will spike at 40 or 50 in that. Now I advertise all those things, right? Those go out on my Twitter account. So who knows whether it's them or me, it's probably me. But Shout Engine, if you haven't looked at that, it's an interesting one to look at. You know, I've done Audio Mix or Audio Max, Audio Boom. Audio Boom's got real pricey if you go with their paid plans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, who knows? They're changing things all the time.
I do enjoy their little, at Podcast Movement, you got an Audio Boom charger.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, their player, their network player, their jukebox player, whatever you want to do, their player is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little insulated. They kind of sponsor me for some of my podcasts. So I get, you know, I get the reduced rate of free for everything I use over there.
The reduced rate of free.
It's not bad. I'm just saying it's not bad. Not everybody gets it. I have to be careful. This is like when I podcast over at homeservershow.com. We talk about Microsoft home server and server products. We're all MVPs for Microsoft. And so we get their software for free. And we're talking about solutions that cost the average guy $400 or $500.
Yeah.
And we have to be really, really careful. And I think, you know, I want a full disclosure. I've got that relationship with Audio Boom, much like I do with MediaFire, where I don't, you know, they sponsor me for some of those things. And so I use their services and I really like them. If you're the average guy, you're going to pay some for it to get that done. So it's tough to make those recommendations sometimes, like, oh yeah, people do have to pay for it.
Just go get it. It's great. And we're like,
that's awesome. Man. And they're like, hey, Jim, that's like $40 a month, you know? And you're like, oh, sorry.
The other news, speaking of Todd and Rob, I'll be interested to see how this goes in the future. I don't know if you heard that show, but Todd didn't give the exact numbers, but he said there are decimal point moves in Android listeners going up because they have that subscribe on Android.com service. And Todd said he's starting to see those numbers go up. So he didn't say how much, but anything is an improvement. So that'll be fun if we can get the Android people to come on board. And I keep hearing rumors that Google may be working on something. And I'm like, really?
It does seem to be, that rumor does seem to be kicking around.
And it's one of those where, you know, Google's supposed to do a lot of stuff that never makes it to the light of day. And
I think they'd be crazy not eventually to come up with a podcast player of some kind. Yeah. I think it's inevitable for them. It's just when will they give it some time? When will they prioritize it? Those kinds of things. I think, Dave, I'm going to go after I've made the decision, I'm going to use Spreaker for my mobile apps. So I've been watching what they're doing. I've been kind of monitoring it, and they by far, in my opinion, have the easiest mobile solution of everybody. And it's $100 an app. So it's going to be $200.
Okay.
And I won't disclose who, but I went after a sponsor for that. So I just went after and said, hey, if you want to sponsor me, you're buying my app. I will brand the app. You'll be all over the app.
Really?
From that standpoint. But yeah, that's it's $200. It's $200, right?
Right.
So I went after a sponsor. We can talk about that more when everything's official and the ink is dry.
Right. From
that, which is a great way, right? Glenn the Geek, he's the one that encouraged me. This is listening to your podcast, and Glenn the Geek was on. He was like, look, these people are paying for stuff in other places. Just ask them. And yeah. So I did, and I got yes. I was like, wow, this actually works. You know, kind of thing.
Is that a one-time fee?
It's a monthly. No, I'm sorry. It's an annual fee.
Okay.
So I went with the annual model 1 year. I don't want to disclose amount right at this point in time, but it's or who, but, cause we're not done, but, yeah, it's successful. You know, am I going to retire on it? No, but it's going to cover the cost of that and some, and I'm going to take the and some and use that for advertising. So I'm going to buy Google, Google AdWords. I'm going to buy some Facebook. I'm going to buy some Twitter advertising to advertise this new app and see how that goes. So that's kind of the plan, is to turn that money, not keep it, but turn that money back into the network. One, so I can write it off in taxes, but two, so I can advertise and see how this works. So I'll be reporting back over the next couple months. It's going to take me a month to get the app written and some of those kinds of things, but they have an app generator. Again, it's $99 for Android and $99 for the iPhone version. If you subscribe under them, it's just a flat fee of $100 a year. And I'll just always look for a sponsor every single year. You know, hey, do you want to jump? You want to stay on board? You want to jump off? And
nice. I'll use Spreaker. I know it is weird how that affects your thinking, because I had a catalog sent to me today that would fit in very nicely with either my Feeding My Faith, or there are a couple other shows that I have, one that's pretty much dead that I keep thinking of bringing back. But I'm now, like, I got a magazine today from Outreach Magazine. And the first thing I want to do, and we'll just do this live, why not, is, you pull it out. And usually it's at the back of the magazine where the ads are. You know, you just kind of look, you know. And here, now in this case, they don't have really small ads. They're all full page or half. Now, here's one. You know, nasbible.ad, right? It's a little corner page down here. That might be somebody I want to reach out to. I don't want to go for the whole full page, you know, blah, blah, blah. I should go out to this magazine. I've done that. I've reached out to them a couple.
Why not go with the full page ones? They can just, all they can say is no.
No, that's true. Because again, you know.
It's just one of those things. I think that interview with Glenn was so pivotal for me in pushing me over the edge of like, Jim, you're doing this stuff anyways. I've been this purist. You know, I do it as a hobby and I am blah, 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 blah. And it was like, not that I want to make money, but there's money out there on the table, and I'm not even asking, like I wasn't even in the game,
right?
So when I was going after this sponsor, I just said, hey, I'm going to create two apps, going to be Android and iPhone. There's going to be places for you to we can put your logo and stuff. You'll approve it before it goes. I'm looking for this amount of money. Here's what we're going to do. I'll mention it on the show. It's going to run for this long, which is a year. What do you think? She's like, I don't know. Let me talk to our marketing folks. A day later, the answer was yes. And she's like, happy to say yes. And let's get moving on this. And I was very, very stunned that it was that easy.
Now on these podcasts, are you using Spreaker as the main host as well?
Mm-mm. No, this is one of my secondary ones. So I load them in there, right? They are all there and they're all in shows. So, and in this case, it's just going to be my Home Gadget Geek show. So just that one show. Because Spreaker charges per show, not per feed. And so I'm going to keep this targeted, right? And that's really my flagship show. Home Tech Tips is in the 200s now, 200-300s. By the way, I did a little pod fading on that and I lost about 300 or 400 listeners. In 5 months, I dropped about 300 or 400 listeners on that, which is, you know, it's kind of sad as a podcaster.
It is. Like,
oh, I really screwed that up.
Yeah,
and then Cyber Frontiers is growing. That's in the 400 to 500 to 600 range. It's growing, but Home Gadget Geeks is in that 1,000 category. So if you're a podcaster and you're in that, you're in my, that's kind of the space that I'm in, 1,000 to 2,000 every episode, so to speak. And on Spreaker, I have a separate show feed for it. So that's the one I'm going to use, and I just upload them there. And so I actually, on Spreaker too, because I go live on Spreaker, I created a separate live show category. So when I'm doing live, it goes into a completely separate bucket. I don't feed that into the Spreaker. And I'm glad I did this now because it'll make it super easy to separate out those feeds. So when I go live, it has its own show category. And then when I'm done producing the show, I upload that finished MP3 into a Home Gadget Geeks show category that I do. And that's like its own RSS feed. So I'm going to pull it right from Spreaker.
Yeah, the reason I asked is Daniel says in the chat room, which will be interesting, is your plays on the app will be coming. They use the Spreaker feed, so it'll be using the Spreaker stats. So you'll kind of be able to check your stats for the app. You'll actually be able to get a better ROI on is the app worth it than if you were using.
Correct.
That's interesting. That'll be a fun little experiment.
That was a huge reason for doing it, by the way. Because I get very few plays. I mean, I get maybe 30 to 60 plays on Spreaker today. So that number is very small. So you'll be able to see a jump when it happens. Like when I was on the front page of Spreaker, I saw a jump. You know, it went up by 120 or whatever listens out there. You could see that. You can see that bubble for the 4 weeks I was on the show. So yeah, no, Dave, that was exactly why, that was one of the contributing factors to this.
Yeah, that's one of those where it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
And at $99
yeah,
for everything.
Now, is that just an iOS app or is that an Android app?
So it's per app. So $99 per app. And then they have an app builder for you and you can go in and build the app. It's not super complicated, right? I mean, this isn't the ultimate in design. This is a very templated, which for me is perfect, right? All I want to do is say, go to the iOS store and search for Home Gadget Geeks. That's all I want to say, and get your own app type thing to listen to this. And really though, the other thing that Glenn said that sparked this in me is now I'll partner with them and they'll be more inclined to pimp my stuff.
That's right.
Because their name is on it. And it's that partnership. It was that idea that he talked about of getting your sponsors involved in the show that really really turned things for me. I was like, oh yeah, I'm not really encouraging them to get involved in my show when I have these vendors on. And so that really, Dave, that was a pivotal for me personally. It was a pivotal interview for me in the way I do my podcast. I mean, I'm pivoting the way I do things, not to make more money, right? That's not the intent, although I will. Right. That'll be the result.
There you go. And the cool thing is, Glenn's coming back. Yes. So we've already talked about that.
I like Kermit. I mean, Glenn.
Yeah. But we're going to go ahead now. For the person on the phone that's been waiting for 3 minutes and 12 seconds, we're going to take your call on the after show. But it's been a fun discussion today. This is one of the things I like about this show. I mean, we have topics that we kind of want to talk about, but it's just one of those things where you look up and you go, you know, Daniel G. Lewis is in the chat room. Let's talk about his thing. And then it's always kind of fun. It's I really do look forward to this show every Saturday. I had a bunch of questions that I found from a Facebook group. Didn't touch one of them. It's like, let's just go with the flow. And of course, any kind of technical snafu is always fun. Thank you, YouTube. I'm glad it's still going so that you and I can connect.
The good news is that, yeah, that's for sure. The audio will be fine.
Yeah.
You'll stitch it together. Be fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got it here locally, so that's cool. So you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save on your subscription. And we will be here next week with another fun-filled episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. And I've got to find a way to make my TV not go into the sleep mode. That drives me crazy. There we go. I'm making sure my collar's still there. So, and because we didn't even talk about iJingle today, which is what we're using today to play the fun-filled stuff, which actually is a pretty cool little tool, thanks to Cliff Ravenscraft, the podcast answer man, clued me into this. It's got a healthy learning curve, but it is a pretty cool tool. But I can see now that I have a minute and 45. Oh, no, wait a minute. I have 10 seconds left to talk. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. Hang on, Mr. Caller. And I add the marker and we continue on. If I can get my mouse to work. And I'll use the iPad. Thank you for holding. Ending in 7825. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
This is Mr. Caller.
Mr. Caller?
Ray, how you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Well, I've been trying to get a signal for the past hour. I don't know what you guys have been talking about. I've been trying to get on, and like, I just finally pulled over. But I had a couple questions for you guys, and I thought maybe you could answer. So,
sure, go right ahead.
Well, I got an iPod, which was broke, and they give me a new one. But the some of the shows, I'll click them, like at the Podcast Dojo, or that the Red Podcast, or Dan Bongino. Those are three of them that when I click them, they just make the whole iPod shut down and go away. But everything else works just fine. And I did the last update, so I don't know if there's. I think somebody was saying that the artwork is too big, it'll do that. And I think Rob was saying that, or somebody. So
that could be. When you're saying iPod, do you mean iPod or iPhone?
iPod. It works on the iPhone. It just doesn't work on the iPod. Everything works on the iPod. I got a bunch of them on there except for those three. And my iPhone's only got like a 16 gig deal in it, so it ain't going to hold much. But everything I put on the iPhone 5C works just fine. So.
Got it. That would be maybe the first thing I would see. Maybe go to iTunes, like on your desktop. Find those shows and go into the MP3 file and see. I know a lot of people, I'm running more and more into this, that they're putting the 1400 by 1400 image inside the MP3 file. I saw that in Facebook this week. Somebody was saying, you know, that's what they were doing. And it is kind of weird because it can cause, not all the time, but some problems where it sounds weird, but when you hit play, you're actually playing the image a little bit. It's kind of weird because the image is silent, but it gets things hung up. So I've run into that a couple times where the other one was they were using the PowerPress plugin, and when you do the old verify button, it was just not working right. It was it would say it was green, but I don't think it brought over the time. There's something really squirrely going on about it. But
the subscribe button in iTunes isn't working very well either on iOS.
That drives me nuts.
You go there and you got to hit it. So I have people hitting it, you know, bunches of times. iTunes. You love it and you hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You know, that's been happening to me, too. I've been trying to hit the buttons. And the thing I hate the most about iTunes at home, and I got a Mac computer, I bought one of those little hockey puck deals. If I hit something and all of a sudden this iTunes starts playing stuff, and I'm like, just go away. Just stop. I don't want you playing anything. If you want to download something, that's fine. But just don't be playing anything, you know. And I even made my default player something else. And it still wants to come up, you know. But
yeah, I know the podcast app. If I don't have any podcasts, which hardly ever happens, playing, it often will just start playing the music app, which is interesting because I have it set to not stream music, but it will. And I have no music on my phone, so it's kind of a goofy little setup. So, but what was your other question?
Well, I got a couple. One is two others I just want to kind of comment. Suits and Scrubs, that is a funny show, Jim. He's really doing a good job.
Mike does a nice job. Yeah, for sure.
But your show with the Mind Hack, that was really good with that Sir Hargrave, you know? And I really appreciate you doing
John
that.
Hargrave.
I printed out the whole thing last night. I've been trying to read it. And I don't read a whole lot, but I've been reading a little bit about what his story was. And it's kind of like some of that, a lot of that was mine when I was younger, you know? And, I'm going to see if that'll help me with, I think it almost looks like it's tailored to ADHD people. It really seems like it is.
Hold on, Michael, let me, for folks, cause nobody has any idea what we're talking about. So Thursday night on Home Gadget Geeks, we interviewed, his name is Sir John Hargrave. He's not really knight, but he has, and as we found on the podcast, but he wrote a book called Mind Hacking, and it's an open source book, right? So they're using GitBook to publish for this year for 2015. And then Simon & Schuster is going to pick up the book in 2016 and actually publish hard copy. The material in the book is very, very interesting. I just dropped a link in the show notes if you want to download it. The book is free to download right now. You can get it in EPUB or Mobi or PDF, basically any device you want, you can download it to and read it. The contents of the book are interesting because it talks about reprogramming your brain. He uses the analogies of computers and programming to talk about some of the things we think about and the way we do things. So it's a self-improvement book about the brain. And we talked a little bit about ADHD in that, Michael, with you. You brought that question in. And so he kind of talked about that as well. I think for this audience, the more appropriate piece is how he published. And this is this new style of publishing where you write chapters at a time, put it in the open source world, let people read it and give you feedback, and then pivot on those chapters, right? So you could, this in a year, he wrote this book in a year, one chapter at a time, you know, putting that information out for people to do using this very podcast-like method of just getting it out there. At the end of the show, I said, John, why are you going to podcast around this book? This is a great book for a podcast, right? The Freakonomics guys did this so well when they made a podcast around the book Freakonomics. And he said, yeah, he's thought about it. And so I'm going to keep putting the pressure on him. But that's what Michael's talking about here. Mind hacking. And I think if you just go to mind hacking and put the dot on the NG, so it's MindHacki.ng, will get you to their free book. You can download it. It's an interesting read. If you're a tech guy, it's really a good read. And he brings in a lot of good tech stories into the book. So one of those we interviewed, or you can just go, it's not going to be ready for another week, but you can go to theaverageguy.tv and find the post.
Michael. Yeah, that was a really, really good interview. I really liked that. I was really sitting right. I don't always have a lot of times on Thursday night if I got some stuff to do, but I was right there. I was looking at that and I'm like, and I was just glued to it. I couldn't stop listening. So it was really well done. So.
Oh, thanks, man. It was a good show.
Yeah, no problem.
Fun. Yeah. You bet, man.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it very much, and I'm on my way to Michigan. So.
All right. Drive safe, man.
You bet. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye, Michael. Bye. One of Home Gadget Geek's faithful listeners who's come across and joined us here on Ask the Podcast Coach. Dave, that, you know, what we've done with this is the perfect is probably